Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome everyone, we're back, and we're back on our regularly scheduled timeline after 2 weeks of just straight craziness. Back to watching it on Monday, released episode on Wednesday.
Yeah, okay. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose,
where two black-ass girls invade the whitest show on earth,
The Bachelorette.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And we just watched episode 5, 6. I don't really know what this is.
Yeah.
It was a lot of drama, though. That's all I can say.
Yes, it was. More importantly, the drama was stacked up this episode.
Yeah. The guys are starting to go a little nutty.
Yeah.
Serious.
They're crazy.
Starting to go crazy. What are your initial thoughts, Justine?
So my initial thoughts are... is first a question. Why is Connor still here?
Who? Okay.
Yeah. See? Okay. Right.
Like, Connor, because, I don't know.
He's like 25, which might as well be 15. Like, what? His shirt is always buttoned down to, like, the last button.
He lowers all the way down his shoes. His navel. Like,
always no chest hair. I can't.
None. Can't grow any. Too young.
No, he's too little. Second thought is that I should have listened to CN.
Why?
Because she was very anti-Gospel Chris.
Oh, she was. Yep.
She do.
You were riding and dying for this guy. He's a complete nutbag.
Yep. And also that this was just not the Vegas I was hoping to see. Bachelorette producers.
Yeah, I told you my dream Vegas date last week. I wanted to see them in the middle of Marquee turning up, and all we got was desert dates. They were like never in actual Vegas.
Like what?
At
was
least not in like downtown Vegas.
Like what was making this Vegas? This could have been Morocco. This could have been like anywhere.
this could have been Scottsdale. Marty goes riding by in his little race car. Like it was just like we were in desert all the time, and then they'd get like the cocktail party at like some rooftop somewhere. But yeah, it wasn't Vegas.
Mm-mm.
Nope. A little lame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
My initial thoughts. So. Regarding Jordan, once a gimmick, always a gimmick. Hmm. You can't, like, suddenly try to become a real person.
Yeah,
and, like, want her to take you seriously. You are a gimmick from Jump Street, so...
Yeah.
He's now trying to, like, gain sympathy and blah, 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 blah. It's like, we're done with you. You're not fitting the mold of the gimmick anymore. Time for you to go now. Thanks for your services. Bye. So that was one thing. Chris is getting nutty. It's usually right around this time where, like, one person starts to have a mental breakdown. It's usually around this episode 5, 6, wherever we're at, where... Because this is around... I mean, Crystal from last season was crazy from Jump Street. But this was around the bowling date where she was like, he didn't, like, why aren't you talking to me? You're not looking at me. And she's going crazy. She threatened to pack her bags and everything like that. Mm-hmm. It's around this time that somebody can't hack it.
Yeah.
And the breakdown begins.
But Chris just had his one-on-one date. What was that? That was 2 weeks ago. It was
like 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Like, Chris, come on.
Already, yeah.
Anyway.
Because now you start to interpret all, like, any eye contact she gives that's not to you. You are, like, literally, like, breaking down every little thing. Mm-hmm. And you're now starting to pay more attention to, like, all her connections with everyone else, the eye contact, the little things. Like, you're noticing everything is, like, heightened now. Especially after you have a one-on-one date. Where you felt like for those 12 hours you were the only person in the world.
Right.
And then you realize, actually, no, there's literally still 15 other niggas here. So, yeah.
Oh, jeez. So yeah, those are initial thoughts. Before we get into everything, we do want to remind everyone, please rate, review, subscribe. We say it every week. If you have not written your review yet and rated us on iTunes or whatever platform, please do that. Much appreciate the positive feedback. Thank you very much.
Yes, we appreciate it. We love it.
We love it. We are also on Twitter, live on Twitter. We live tweet every Monday. We tweet a bunch of other shit in the middle of the week. Our Twitter handle is the number 2BLK girls, the number 1Rose.
And we love to hear from you guys through email. Our email is the number 2BLKGirls, the number 1Rose @gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And it's the same deal for Facebook. We're on Facebook now, guys. So, like us on Facebook. If you're in any of those Bachelor, like, fan group things,
yeah,
tell them to come on over.
Yeah. Or, like, link the page. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how this works. Just, you guys know. Just do it. Just do the things.
You guys know. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Okay, so we do have some Bachelor Nation news very, very quickly. Tired of talking about this dude, Garrett Kushner. So we got an email, shout out to Lauren, who sent us an email with a link to Garrett's, like, wedding video.
from 2015.
How do people find this stuff? This is so crazy.
The thing is, it's easy to find. Yeah. It really is. And I guess if you're an editor at Refinery 29 and you are assigned to The Bachelor every Monday... Mm-hmm. And you had an episode like last week that was boring as shit. You gotta, you know what
find
I mean?
Something. Yeah.
You gotta yank something from 3 years back.
That's true. Like, they like dug up this old dusty video on like Vimeo or any of those like video sharing platforms. So if you're curious to see Garrett and this little cheesy video, I kind of sped through. It was just like a very typical cheesy wedding video. It is kind of bizarre to see somebody who we're seeing every Monday on TV allegedly falling in love with Becca. Literally, like, staring into the eyes of another woman and crying and declaring his, like, forever love to her.
That's so
it was just weird watching this video with him, like, same Garrett, like, marrying somebody else not that long ago. And now he's, like, on this other show.
Strange. So there's that. You can go find that. And then also with Garrett, his ex... So, like, last week we were saying, like, we need to hear more about this divorce, this two-month thing. He kind of just, like, threw it out there and then we get no details. And all he did was kind of, like, throw the other girl under the bus. Yeah. So, the ex-wife, her friend, the source, did an interview with Life and Style. So, very credible, guys. Very credible.
Another. Again. Here they go.
But she did an interview with them basically saying that Garrett ate shit, so also wasn't giving us much. No. So nobody knows anything about this marriage of 2 months and what the hell went wrong.
Yeah.
What he said, she said. That's it on that. I really don't give a shit about Garrett, so I don't really want to talk about this.
Exactly, yeah. Or his ex-wife. Like, right. I'm sure they worked it out and it's fine now.
Right. Whatever. Let's get into the recap.
That's
more interesting to me. All right. So we're in Vegas.
City.
And the men are staying at the Aria, which is like one of the dopest hotels in Vegas.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah, it's hella nice. I've walked through it. I can't afford to stay there. But it's like one of the newer hotels, I want to say. So it's just like big and lavish, like most things in Vegas. But so they're staying at the Aria. They're staying in this bomb ass suite that they do not deserve.
What?
That
shit was fire. It had the whole staircase, a bar, a pool table. Like, that's one of the nicer, like, bachelor places I feel like I've seen.
Yeah, but them bunk beds look rusty.
And they had bunk beds in there?
No, in the mansion in L.A.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Here, this place looks nice.
Yeah,
like, they're staying in one of the nicer places I've seen on the show. Usually it is some little cabin with, like, bunk beds or whatever, so... You know, Arya got that nice product placement or good marketing for them on the show.
Yeah, true.
Yep. And so yeah, the guys are there. They're running around. Ah, this place is sick. Becca surprises them. She's there. They're all touring around, yada, yada. So the next day, date card comes out. And my baby daddy, Colton, is going on the one-on-one with Becca.
Oh, yeah. And
the card said, let's ride off into the sunset together.
Oh, my God.
So, time for Colton's date. He is riding in a limo out to the desert, because this is where every date this episode took place.
In the desert.
In the desert. And he's talking about how he's nervous. He has some other personal information he needs to share. And then...
What? This man has a lot of secrets.
Colton is, like, too much to handle. It's a lot. Come with a lot of baggage, but no baggage at the same time. But
right! Like, Garrett had a whole-ass marriage and was like, mm-hmm. I was married. And Colton's like, I have this personal information, this secret that I've had for my life that I am so anxious to tell her. And I'm like, what?
Mad skeletons, all kinds of bones just trickling out this damn closet. Damn, Colton, who are you? Like, what else is there to know? Good. So he's talking about some personal information, and then cue the ancient bachelor editors who zoom in on this sign that says Virgin River.
They are trash. They are trash.
Trash. Where they found this? This is like some old dusty footage from like Park City, Utah that they shot, and now they're like splicing it in
here
because they do that kind of shit. But anyways, they kind of were signaling because we all know that Colton's a virgin.
Right, it's foreshadowing. The whole virgin
reveal. What'd you say?
It's foreshadowing.
It's a lot of foreshadowing. A lot of foreshadowing. So Colton meets up with Becca in the middle of the desert, and they learn that they're going camel riding. It's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I really noticed about Colton, his teeth are mad white.
Yeah, they are.
Hella white.
Yeah, especially because like he's like tan.
His skin is very tan, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, extra, extra white, and he has a very nice smile. He's just everything. After they ride their camels, they then dip in a hot tub. Like...
Listen.
I can't.
How are they not just sweating to death?
That's what I'm saying. It's the desert. It is... Vegas, I don't know what month they shot this, but on average it's like 110 degrees in Vegas. Literally. Why the hot tub? Like, it's just an excuse to see Becca in a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an excuse to make them rub up on each other, like in this body of water in the middle of daytime with cameras around. Like, the when you like break it down, like, it's just very odd, like, that they have to do this.
And they could have done something cool. Couldn't they have done like a hot spring or a bath, like a Roman bath at a spa? Like, they could have done something cool. But no, bachelor producers, you gotta just stick with what you've been doing since 1985. And sticking them in a hot tub outdoors.
Sticking them in a hot tub. And there was nothing, I was trying to look to, was there anything like surrounding the hot tub? It was literally just a hot tub plopped in the middle of the day. Like, there was no like side glamping area or like side, it was just a hot tub.
Nope. That's some PA had to drive from a U-Haul to plop in the middle of the desert.
Plop in the middle of the desert. Oh my god. So they're in the hot tub canoodling. I'm sorry, I kind of zoned out at this part. I think they were talking about the whole Tia thing, and Colton was saying, like, he's he's like happy with how the whole Tia thing played out, and they're like mm-hmm. moved past it or something, right?
Yeah, which I wish he would just stop talking about it.
Yeah, like just don't bring it up anymore. It's over.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
kind of beating it over. Beating a dead horse. Is that what it is?
Whew. Guys, it's help a me. Long ass what is day. The
saying? Beating a dead horse, something like that.
Yeah, something.
So yeah. So after the hot tub, time for the nighttime portion of their date. Colton gets the award for best dressed. He just what? Always looks amazing. Best dressed.
Best dressed out of all the men?
I think so. Yeah. Who are you going to say? You're going to say Wills, aren't you?
Wills! Absolutely! That makes some
questionable... Nah, I'm sorry. No, I love them.
It's a risk. It's daring.
He does take some risks, but he takes risks with, like, patterns. A lot of bright patterns that don't always work. You don't get points just work. For... No, you don't get points just because you're taking risks. He wore some... I mean, we're going to get to it, but he wore that, like, short sleeve... floral
yes
thing. No with
a high
Justine.
Sock a high athletic sock
get out of here
yes
no.
I live for it.
If anybody else wore that, you would have been clowning them right now. You're only doing
of course I would have but I because it's Wills.
That outfit
he can
crazy.
Carry it off no. He's a graphic designer. He knows the patterns. It goes with his profession. Mm-hmm. His Harry Potter tattooed on his forearm. It's the whole thing. His yeah. eyes change color. It's mm-hmm. a whole
allegedly,
you know
supposedly.
Allegedly.
Exactly. I'm giving best dress to Colton.
Fine.
He looks nice and fitted in his little shirts. So he shows up to his nighttime portion. He's wearing a nice fitted black button down. It's just hugging his muscles ever mm-hmm. so slightly. Just looks amazing.
Oh, jeez.
It just looks beautiful. I said on Twitter also, Colton's face is always hella shiny.
It is. I don't know why they don't just give him a little Starbucks napkin.
Thank you.
Just a little
somebody dab something. Him off. But the thing about it, his skin is so, like, even and, like,
yeah.
very, like, perfect. He doesn't have any, like, blemishes or anything like that. His face mm-hmm. is just always looking greasy. But, like, a hot greasy. You know what I'm saying? So Colin's looking beautiful. Becca is just talking about just like how smitten she is by him, how much she's into Colton, blah mm-hmm. blah. So Colton shares a little story about his, I think he said this is his relationship after college, like the first girl that he, or the first and only girl he's ever been in love with.
Yeah, right. He's like real girlfriend.
Right. So he had this relationship. He told the girl very early on that he was in love with her, and you know, she didn't say it back.
She said it's a dub.
Yeah,
it's a no.
And then she like broke up with him out the blue.
Yep.
So like, I mean, talk about crushed.
Which
so,
is what she should have done. If she wasn't in love with him, that's what she should have done. Broken up with him. So
yeah, true. Still very heartbreaking. It's very yeah. vulnerable to like.
Exactly.
Drop that L word on somebody, and then they're just like, thanks. Also, this isn't working out. So, like, all in one breath after you literally just declared your love. Like, shit.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Horrible. So, Colton, like, he's just talking about, like, love and the concept of love. Being in love is, you know, one part confusion, part pain. Mm-hmm. And then he's talking to Becca, like, he's only been in love once, and he doesn't want to be, like, discounted because of that. Because, mm-hmm. you know, some other guys in the house have been, like, married and have had, like, multiple
right.
relationships and all this shit. And,
do we have no men with kids? Wow.
Yeah, there's no single fathers. Was there
no
any
parents.
To begin with? I didn't even think about that.
I don't
Did
know.
Did any of the men from the beginning have kids?
I feel like no.
I feel like, yeah, there was none.
Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Side note, okay? Mm-hmm. Private epiphany. So he's, you know, love is very touchy for him. He reassures her that the word love and even the, like, the phrase I'm falling in love, he doesn't use it very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And is also telling her that, like, you know, but she's making it easier for him to take his walls down, like, basically kind of like setting up next week where he's gonna tell her. Like, he's already plotted in his head, like, I'm gonna tell her next week I'm in love, so let me just like set the groundwork now. You're helping me take down my wall, so who knows what can happen. I'm interested. Like, he's really just like setting shit up. I'm like, Colton, we see what you're doing. Uh-huh. We see it. But then when he was saying like she's making it easier for him to like take his walls down, I don't understand that, because you still are one of like 13 guys in the house. Like, your walls should be like all the way up still. Yeah. How is she making it easier to bring them down? Like, you're not, I don't see how you could ever take your walls down when you're on a show like this. I know you have to make it far, but like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Especially when you haven't done a date that's like a mutual activity. Like, they were riding the camels. That doesn't take anything. People were leading them. They were in the hot tub. That also doesn't take anything. You were in bathing suits. And now you're sitting at dinner.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, like,
how are you?
How are you? How is she, like, reassuring you that much?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I don't know. We're not seeing a lot of their conversation either. Mm-hmm. Either. Besides, like, now at dinner when he's talking about, like, his past love and whatnot. But, like, in the hot tub, what were they talking about? Like, we didn't really see much of that. Mm-hmm. Either way, whatever she said, he's feeling good about himself, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So, he obviously gets the date rose. Mm-hmm. And then they ride off in this, like, tour bus, I guess? I'm sure.
Yeah, the big bus. Like, we see these all over New York, guys.
Like those big tour buses.
We just think they're cheesy, but
I want to ride them. I always say I'm going to ride one.
Through where?
Through New York.
Oh, you are going alone.
I'm so curious, because I see them all the time. I'm so curious to see, like, what is the view from that top level, like, just riding through New York. Like, you're seeing New York from, like, a different perspective, because you're, like, up high and you're outdoors. You're seeing... You know what I mean? You're, like, looking down at everybody.
Yeah. I'm sure someone has a YouTube video of that I can
just
look at real quick.
You ain't shit. I'm gonna do it. I'll be there by myself sitting next to some German tourists. I'm gonna do it. So Becca and Colton are riding one of those, like, open top tour bus things and making out. There's, like, this big billboard that says kiss her. And so obviously that's for her. They're making out. The guys are in the suite. They see the billboard.
They see
it. Like, oh my god. Yikes. What is going on? And yeah, they're down there just making on out. And Colton says, not to Becca, but in his little confessional, I can confidently say I'm falling in love with Becca.
Oof.
Yeah.
That didn't take much. I don't know.
Not a lot at all, considering y'all were just, like, fighting, like, two episodes ago.
Right!
And, like, going over some scandalous, like, drama, or not drama, scandalous, like, relationship thing you had with Tia.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything's, like, hunky-dory. It's, like, very strange. But okay. Back at the suite, David is just talking a bunch of mess. So annoying.
As always. God.
Talking about how he's nervous because he's gotten the rose second to last, like, the last 2 weeks. And then he, like, turns to Jordan, his arch nemesis, who, like, you really just shouldn't be talking to him at all. You guys can't stand each other. Like, stop trying to antagonize him. Ask Jordan, like, how did it feel last week when you got the last rose? And Jordan's just like, I don't have time for this. Like, like, I'm not
even
doing
Jordan
this with
is
you.
Like, oh my god, like, it's rolling his eyes.
Because David has no storyline. Jordan is his storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. Just lame. So the date card comes out. It's a group date. Everyone is on the card except for, surprise, surprise, Jordan and David will be going on the infamous 2-on-1.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're gearing up for this 2-on-1. Jordan is already trying to, just his whole attitude has changed. He's like trying to tone down the gimmickiness already. David keeps egging on this, like, battle between the two of them. and Jordan is trying to, like, open a new chapter of himself and, like, not right. be the guy running around in gold shorts anymore. He's, like, trying to be, like, more serious. But...
Which is ridiculous, because, as you just said, you were running around in gold boxer briefs. Last episode. Emphasis on briefs. So, there's no turning back from that.
There's no turning back. No one can take you seriously. We see you trying, but it ain't working.
No.
Anyways, time for the group date, and all the guys pile into another limo, I think, and mm-hmm. are yet again driving away from Vegas into the desert.
Like, into the middle of nowhere, like, into the what? Middle of nowhere.
So their date card said something about finding Mr. Vegas, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And so they ride up and they pull into this huge estate, like this big gated estate.
It's like a compound almost.
Like a compound. Almost like Neverland, like the Neverland Ranch or something. Yeah, but I was thinking that, but I was like, no, this is Vegas. Neverland is in Los Angeles, I think, right?
I think so.
Whatever. So, yeah, they pull into this huge estate and Wayne Newton comes riding up on a horse.
Listen, when I tell you I was so happy I was watching this with my mother so she could tell me who that was. Because I swore, I was like, is that Gene Simmons? Because I just always think every white guy with Gene dark Simmons. Hair is Gene Simmons.
Who's Gene Simmons? Isn't that the guy from...
He's from Kiss.
Kiss, that's what I was thinking, yeah. So Wayne Newton rides up. This is my Get Me to Wakanda moment.
Nice.
Because same thing. I was like, who's Wayne Newton again? Like, I know him, but I don't know him at the same time. Like, you know the name. Yeah. I recognize that god awful face.
Oh my god, that face.
Face.
Oh he looks my god. A mess. He looks so bad.
So tight. Like, mm-hmm. just, he looks like a piece of plastic.
He looks like he has had plastic surgery, and he's also had some sort of physical ailment. I don't know in which order they went in, but it looks like so many things have happened to him. Like this is just it. And just like
so many corrective surgeries.
Yeah.
Like, every surgery was correcting something that went wrong before and just was creating a mess. Like...
Yeah.
His face looks terrible. He also, to me, looked like he was wearing the skin of another human. Like, at any moment, he would just unzip himself.
Yes! And like, prosthetics. Out. Like, he had prosthetics on. Yes!
Like, he was like a... Like, special effects for a movie. Like, they had piled mm-hmm. all those prosthetics onto his face. But that actually is just his face.
He wakes up like that.
Oh, Lord. So, yeah, that was my Get Me to Wakanda moment, because I know the name. I know Wayne Newton. Just like old white man from like 70s pop disco. Who the fuck knows?
Clearly, I don't know.
I don't have a clue. Either way, I don't want to be here. And so they're at his compound. They get a tour of his like house, which is just so over the top, ridiculous, mm-hmm. and lavish.
It looks very Versace to me.
Very, like, Versace, Liberace.
Yeah.
Like, that thing. Those, like, just, like, men of that time.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they all sit down in his living room. He's talking about, you know, love songs and, you know, writing songs and songwriting and lovemaking, all that shit. And then his wife comes out, and he starts singing to her, and he's singing some song... Dark of Shame? What was Dunk he saying?
Dark of Shame. Girl!
What? What do you mean, girl? Am I supposed to know that? What is Dunk of Shame? What? Oh, God! Because every time someone said it, they each said something else.
Yeah.
So I still never caught what is he saying, what he said?
Dunk of Shame. It means thank you very much in German.
Oh, it's another language.
Yeah, it's another language. Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to piece it into English. So I'm like, dark of shame? Dark of shame?
Yeah.
Who is shame?
He was looking at his wife's eyes singing dark of shame.
I had no clue. So confused this whole time. Dunk of shame. Okay, so it's something in German. What is it in German? Thank you very much. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's... look into his wife's eyes, singing to her, just looking like a complete plastic surgery nightmare. And
Then he says that their challenge is to, surprise, surprise, write a love song for Beppo.
Write a song. Which we already did.
One, already did this 2 days ago with Chris. And two, we do this every season on the Bachelor. There's always a date where they have to write a song. And it's always like the worst group date because no one wants to be on this. And they always suck. And it's not even that entertaining either. Like that date. So
it's just cringy.
Just cringy the whole time. So the guys all kind of like space out around this ginormous compound, get their little like private time writing their songs. They all sound terrible, of course. Yep. Will's, this is where he was wearing that terrible floral short sleeve suit.
Amazing.
How is that amazing? Just
so good. It was so
if
good.
If Garrett was wearing that, you would be clowning him.
Because he's Garrett. That's different.
If Chris R. was wearing it, you'd be clowning him.
I don't know.
Silence. Look at you.
I might allow it. Maybe. It depends. But Will's, he just, to me, it's just his personality. Like, how he dares to have that lone, sad, non-connecting mustache. He dares to have it. He dares to have no product in his hair. Like, just out here.
Just riding dry.
I love it.
He definitely is a risk taker. I'll give him that. He definitely takes some fashion risks. So he gets points for that, but it's still a terrible suit. I'm sorry. Then Wayne Newton announces that, again, surprise, surprise, they're going to be performing live in front of a studio audience.
This reminded me of Ari's date where they had to go do the Moulin Rouge, but that was cool because they went to the Moulin Rouge. With, like, cool outfits.
Yeah. It was some little jazz speakeasy on the edge of the Vegas Strip. They just, like, got these fans last minute.
It almost looked like a comedy club. Like, how the lights were down so low. Yes. Like,
yeah, it's true. And the little, the little round tables and high tops. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, the guys put on some tuxedos and they go to this comedy club where they have to sing their song for Becca. First up is John. Love John.
Yes. He's so cute.
I love John. He's like the most human person on the show, I feel like.
Yeah.
He's very human. I love how he said, he's so cute, his little liners. He's like, I sing in the shower all the time, so I think it's finally gonna pay off. It's just so cheesy and cute.
So adorable.
John. That's so adorable. So he sang his little song, sounded terrible.
Listen, the key of Z flat. He sounded so crazy.
They all did. They all were equally terrible.
Yeah.
And then, so the last person to go up is Gospel Chris, who is just ready to tear down the house. It's like his Beyonce moment. The way he was just like chatting this up in the confessional. It's like, relax, my dude. But he did do the best job out of everyone. He like really worked the stage. He got the audience all involved. Like, he sounded terrible, but he at least had like good performance value, I guess.
Yeah, like good energy.
Good energy and stuff. Got everybody like hyped up. So he's like really feeling himself. So after the date, they go for their cocktail party thing at the T-Mobile Arena. Which had a big ass sign that said, Becca, bring your guys in.
Oh, yeah.
They're using a lot of billboards. The budget for this episode was, I feel like, a lot.
But is that why they couldn't go anywhere inside Vegas?
I think they put all their budget towards those damn billboards.
Yeah,
they had the billboard that said "Kiss Me." They had the billboard on the arena that said "Becca, come in." Like that shit's expensive. I feel like.
Yep.
And so, Wayne Newton, they probably had to pay his
plastic ass something. They had to pay his geriatric self. Oh my god.
And then, all the limos and shit like that. Like, I feel like the budget was up there. The Aria, renting the Aria suite. That's
I feel like
alone.
That might have been free.
Oh, that's true. The
if the Aria displayed it, that might have been free.
Marketing, yeah, never mind. But yeah, so anyways, they head up to the T-Mobile Arena for their, like, post-date cocktails. Gospel Chris is talking a very confident talk.
Yeah.
He just knows that he's going to get this date rose. Like, he really feels like that little performance, like, just solidified his spot at hometowns. Like, the way he's talking. I'm like, why are you so confident? It's still, you are still one of, like, 14 guys that are here. You need to put in work still.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the time to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Like, you still have work to do. But he's feeling all types of confident.
Mm-hmm.
So Becca, she's doing her little one-on-ones with everyone. She has her little one-on-one with Garrett. She's very clearly, like, obsessed with Garrett. The way she's looking at Garrett is the way that Ari would be looking at Lauren.
B.
Like, that look that, as we're watching, we don't understand what the hell's going on between them.
Nope.
But you see the look in her eye that she's, like, falling and obsessed with this person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the look that she's giving Garrett Cushion over there. So all the guys are getting their one-on-one time. Chris R, Gospel Chris, is just sitting back, just sitting idly by.
It's your last like,
just straight up chilling.
Mm-hmm.
And he's claiming, like, oh, he's going to go last, you know, save the best for last.
Yep.
Like, just taking his sweet time, just not going after Becca. And
as
just,
if that's up to him, also.
Right. Like, oh, I'll just go last. No, you need to go fight for your time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's sitting back, relaxing, looking all cool. Blake and Becca go outside. They have a little, like, private time. Blake says that, you know, the whole Jean Blanc foolishness, he lied about saying he was falling in love, and how he, you know, Jean Blanc took that moment away from you. And so, Becca, I want to say, I'm falling in love with you.
Oh.
First guy to drop it.
Love
it. Mr. Blake. Love Blake.
Love Blake so much.
Don't believe that they're... I mean, is he really falling in love? This is just so... Still so early, I feel like. No?
It is. But he
He did have a one-on-one, though.
He had a one-on-one, and they also talk about, like, some real stuff when they're together. Like, how many kids do you want? Like, they talk about that, like, lovey-dovey first 3 months shit early.
And they did connect. I'm trying to think back and remember his date. They connected about, cause his what was his last breakup? Same thing like Ari, like that she left him high and dry. Or something?
Yeah, she left him. He saw her clowning him in the group text.
Yes, the friends were like, "Girl, you break up with him? Yet?
Like, and girl, like, did you break up with him? Oh my god!
Shit." Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they, like, bonded over that shared kind of, like, someone betraying them kind of thing.
And, like, it's embarrassment in front of other people.
Yeah. Sheer embarrassment.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess his feelings are a little bit further along.
And they really connected the first night. I remember their first night.
They did. They have had a strong, like, very natural connection.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, I prefer... Garrett, I just can't stand, so... beside the point, but... Becca and Blake, I like their naturalness the most, I think. Along with Will's. I like her relationship with Will's, too.
Yeah.
But Blake, I appreciate the Blake thing going on there. So Blake drops that he is falling in love with her, and she can't say it back, because that's, like, the rules of Bachelor Nation.
Right.
That Ari broke last season. But she does admit in her confessional... she says, I'm falling in love with Blake.
Oh,
and I knew it from the beginning.
Yes!
And what she said.
There's hope.
There's hope. There's hope for us all. I mean, not really, but...
Yeah, no, but it's fine.
And so, Becca, you know, she comes... After her, like, lovey-dovey moment with Blake, she goes back inside, and she sits on the couches with all the guys... And keep in mind, Chris still hadn't had his one-on-one time. He's still sitting here talking about he gonna get the last time and blah, 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 blah. So Becca goes back in, sits on the couches. She thanks everyone for the day. You know, you guys were all really good sports and all that stuff. And she apologizes. You know, I haven't had time to talk with everyone. And she kind of, like, signals to Chris R, who still, I guess, in his head was thinking, like, there was time left that he could still get time with her. And then Becca grabs the group rose and awards it to Blake.
Chris literally is about to jump off the side of this building.
And she gives the rose to Blake and is like, all right, y'all, go to bed. Later.
Yep. See ya.
Peace is out. And Chris is in there looking dumb and just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And embarrassed, as he should be. Because he was talking a whole mess. A whole mess. And so he, in this moment, got my Nigga You Ain't Shit award.
Nice.
Because he's going off about how he's, like, so shocked and pissed. And, you know, now he's like, I think I'm going home. Mm-hmm. And yada, yada, yada. And it's like, get off your ass and go and talk to her. That would have solved this whole thing.
Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. you're off in this big-ass huff how she, you know, didn't, like, she should have come to see you. Or like, what world are you living in where the lead is coming to come talk to you?
Right.
This is The Bachelorette. You're a contestant. And there's still 25 guys left on this house. You need to fight for time.
And even in real life, like, if you're a dude, he seems the type to be like, well, I texted her at 10:58 and it's 1:32. So why should I text her again? Like, he seems like that type. Like the type.
Yep, he counts texts.
Yep.
He looks like that type. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid. So yeah, he just... Too much ego, too much pride, too much, like, it's a lot of macho, manly bullshit on this season with these guys. They're all annoying me.
Does this happen normally?
I feel like no. I don't know. Mm. Particularly on this one, they just have a lot of guys just kind of, like, puffing their chests and a lot of just ego, and it's so annoying, I feel like. And so he's, like, the king of that, because apparently Beck is supposed to be chasing him. I don't know. You ain't shit, so you're here trying to win her. Like, don't forget that. So.
And you're riding off of a performance where you could not sing nor dance. So what are you... You're just riding off of, like, you getting people to stand up.
Right. Like, and as if that... Like, you're owed something because you did a good job.
Right,
At the singing competition or whatever.
No.
Anyways, so he's... like doubting if he even wants to be here, and he's saying he wants to pack his bags, and all the guys are sitting there like rolling their eyes like, shut up, Chris. So back at the suite, Jordan and David they get their date card, actually the 2-on-1 date card. It says meet me in the Valley of Fire, and they're, you know, Jordan is trying to put on a brave face and trying to, you know, tone down the gimmickiness.
Mm-hmm.
David is over here still trying to get him on. Colton gave a very, very nice little analogy that I thought was very fitting. He said that the two of you are like two rams, like butting heads on a mountain. But if you do this tomorrow, you're both going to fall off the mountain. Nice little analogy and great foreshadowing for this
date. It was.
And so, let's start for the 2-on-1.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which, you know, is very important to me.
Uh-huh.
But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. Mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
Mm-hmm. It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
David and Jordan ride off in a limo into the desert, of course. Mm-hmm. They get there. Becca's there in her cute little Daisy. What do you call these Daisy Dukes?
Daisy Dukes. That outfit was mad cute.
It was really cute, yeah.
I want it in all white for La Marina. Like, I want a white and gray camouflage shirt and, like, white shorts.
White shorts. What color Tims? You can't wear those color Tims.
Dang, I know, yeah. And you can't wear the ghost Tims because you can't wear those anywhere outside.
The what Tims? What's that?
They're all white. They're, like, crisp white.
No. White yes. Tims?
Yeah, who they're, like all white. The sole is white. The tongue is, like, everything is white.
Everything white?
Yeah, they're called ghosts.
At La Marina in the sand? That should be done by the minute you step foot at La Marina. Niggas spilling Hennessy on it and stuff.
Oh like. My god. No, maybe that could be a cute color, like blue. Like dark blue. Like navy or something.
Dark blue. Yeah, maybe. It was a cute outfit. Yeah.
It was.
I'll give her that. It was very cute. So she's in there, her cute little Daisy Dukes, and then they all ride off in this red Jeep Wrangler up to this, like, picnic glamping kind
of like yeah,
little tent thingamajig. So they're all there just sitting awkwardly in silence, very awkward,
which Becca was like, oh, I have a great day planned for you guys, and there was absolutely nothing
to do. There was no activity planned.
None.
It was just, I'll take you away for one-on-one time, then I'll go with you for one-on-one time, and that's then you it. Again, and then you again, and then let's sit here and have a confrontation. Like, there was no activity, like, none. Whatsoever.
Not even hiking. Like, mm-mm. Just sitting there.
Just sitting. And so, Beck and David have their one-on-one time first, and David is like, you know, I feel good about where things are, and he feels good about how things are with them.
Like, where are what things? Where?
Where? What's going on between the two of you? Nothing. What are you feeling good about? Where you are? Where? Please, enlighten me.
Where have you gone?
Where have you gone? What? Like, there's no chemistry between the two of you. You guys have no connection. You know nothing about her. She knows nothing about you. You guys have no relationship.
Nope. What do you she looks like about? She's babysitting him.
Yes.
Like...
He looks like he's 14. He just yes! had his bar mitzvah. Yes,
like a math tutor. Like she's sitting mm-hmm. there, like, oh my god, you really for real? This is mm-hmm. pre-algebra.
He looks so young, and he is. He's like 20. He's 25, I think.
Yeah,
he's 25 and looks 17.
Yeah.
So he's going on how happy he are with how things are and whatever the hell that means, and. Then he's like, and, you know, in the spirit of being honest while we're here, Jordan isn't for you. Just couldn't wait to just start the drama.
Like, couldn't wait.
David, oh my god.
And this is where he gets my Nigga You Ain't Shit award.
Yup, that's about
because
right.
Because you could talk about a connection that is not there, right? And we all know it is non-existent. Mm-hmm. And then try and just talk about some other dude the whole time. You already know that's going to not get you a rose. You've gotten two pity roses so far.
Yes.
And
that's true. He hasn't gotten a real rose.
No, he hasn't gotten a real rose yet since the first week. Okay. So why are you even, like, riding on somebody else's coattails for a 2-on-1 group date?
That's all he's got. That's all he's got.
So, yeah, he immediately just starts bashing Jordan, telling some nonsense. Jordan talks about wanting to date other models back home. And then he told some story about when they were walking through the casino, how Jordan was pointing out all the girls who were looking at him. And then David said, yeah, you know, Jordan, you know, he feels like, you know, he'll be settling with you. If he chose, like, if you chose him, he'd just be settling for you. And you're not someone who should be settled for.
Yeah.
Like, very pointedly threw out that word, settled.
Settling, yeah.
Like, knowing that, or maybe he didn't know, he knew. Now that is a very triggering word for Becca, who feels like Ari essentially told her, like, he settled for her, and then went and chose, like, his real person, Lauren.
Ugh.
So, yeah, David is dropping a whole bunch of shit. And so Becca has her one-on-one time with Jordan, confronts him about everything that David just said, and Jordan denies, like, everything.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't say any of this. Nothing about girls back home, settling, what? I literally had never said that.
Yeah.
Just denied everything from A to Z. And then Jordan is saying how, like, he's really upset because he wanted this date to, like, finally be able to show, like, more depth to him. And he goes off on this long, stupid tangent. I'm sorry, but sharing about his mom, how his mom has multiple mental illnesses, and he's watched his dad, like, love his mom, and how he's come from nothing, and one time they didn't have electricity, and he's just been unapologetically himself this whole time, and blah, 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 but, like, literally just throwing out anything to, like, anything. Build a story for him, like, a little sob, sympathetic story that, like, it's episode 5. You were literally wearing gold shorts last episode. You've been a gimmick from Jump Street.
Right.
You can't do this now. The sob stories, that the deadline was weeks ago. You can't now pull this up on the two-on-one as a way to salvage yourself. No one cares. We don't care. I'm
and
sorry.
And if you do try to do that, you have to connect it to why you're such a clown.
Right.
You can't just, like, say, like, well, and I watched my dad and, you know, we didn't have electricity and all this stuff. You have to be like, I act like the class clown because I was always trying to make people laugh because I was distracting from the fact that we didn't have no food in the fridge. Like, you have to connect it all together. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you look like you're lying.
That's what his whole story didn't even read as genuine. It read like a last-ditch effort to, like, try and, like, get on her, like, trying to get himself a pity date or a pity rose, basically. Yeah, something. Well, you're right. He didn't connect it at all to, like, anything. It was just like, we didn't have money. My mom has mental illnesses. My dad loves my mom. Like, all this random facts about himself that is just too little too late. And so Jordan, you know, does his little thing. He walks back and just goes off on David. And he's mostly pissed about the comments about saying that he said that he would settle for Becca.
Yeah.
Because he's adamantly denying that he said that.
And he did say, which I liked, he said that it's the worst thing to say to a woman.
Yeah, I did like that he said that,
which
too.
Which
yeah.
is true, I think.
Yeah. And David knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
David knew exactly what he's doing. But yeah, Jordan's right. He's like, you or throwing a low blow and you just had to go there. Like, you knew that was a trigger for Becca. You know it's a trigger for just women in general.
Yeah.
But particularly for this woman, how dare you throw out there this whole thing about settling and how I said that I would be settling for her, yada, yada, yada. And so Becca comes back. She joins them. The three of them are just sitting there just, like, bickering. Looks so ridiculous. And then Becca just flat out asked, she's like, did the word settling ever come out of his mouth? Jordan is like, I never said that. And then David is just sitting there, like, trying
he's
to backtrack.
Like, humana, 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 humana.
Nigga, you ain't shit, because you know he never said the word settling. I can't stand Jordan's ass, but you are lying on him.
Yep.
It's not okay.
Just risking it all. Just risking it all.
Risking it all. This is making a blatant lies. Oh, my God.
And so Becca, she's just like, you know what? I feel like I'm in sixth grade. All of this is petty, which is exactly, this is literally the definition of petty. Just the three of them sitting there bickering looked ridiculous. And she just like walks away at that moment to like go collect herself and then just left them there just like bickering at themselves. So when she finally comes back, she tells the guys like, look, this is all a big mess. And, you know, one of you over the other did open up to me more. And so, David, this is where we have to part ways.
Yeah.
And send him back in. So, Jordan, even though his little sob story foolishness was foolishness, it was something to Becca. Because he did take a little bit of time to, like, share something about himself during his one-on-one.
You're right.
Versus David spent his entire one-on-one just talking about Jordan.
Right. And then things that don't exist, like their connection.
Right. And then making up bullshit about settling all this stuff. So, David, she kicks to the curb. She doesn't even hug him goodbye.
I know. I noticed that. She just walked off.
Walked off. Oh, my God. Just left him. No hug. No nothing. Nope. And Jordan, she doesn't give the date rose to. She's like, we still need to talk.
Yeah.
And so they head off into the Jeep Wrangler and, you know, drive into the sunset. And then David, they get that classic shot that they always get on the two-on-one. It's like that drone. The drone is, like, up in the sky.
Oh, yeah. Like the one person. The suitcase is leaving, but yeah.
Oh, no. Just the one person on the mountain or on the beach or whatever the hell they left them. All by himself. Later, David. And so, time for the night portion. So now Jordan basically is on like a one-on-one date, which is awesome for him. And they go for dinner, and Becca says to him how, or she's saying the confessional how he makes her laugh a lot, but there's really nothing else there, like nothing more. So this is his opportunity to, like, present himself, like, finally.
And she's
get
also
to know each other.
Laughing at him, so
that's true. Yeah, that's true. She needs to make that distinction. A lot of time when she's laughing at him.
Yeah,
not really along with his jokes. Like, it's usually some dumb shit that he's doing, and she's laughing at how ridiculous he looks.
Right, right.
A little difference there. So Becca starts off their little dinner saying, you know, let's just put the David thing to rest. This is your opportunity to, like, ask me anything, like, ask away. So Jordan asks her, you know, what does a weekend look like for you? And she talks about, you know, going to church and reading, going for brunch with friends, blah, 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 blah. Jordan, in that moment, this is, like, literally one of my pet peeves of human beings. How you tell a story, or as Becca's talking, you see him hearing her, but he's not listening.
Mm-mm.
He's hearing her, but in the meanwhile, he's thinking of what he's about to
say. What he's gonna say.
And I hate... That is literally my pet peeve of people.
Really?
Like, just bad listening skills in general, which most human beings just are terrible at listening. But when... And I can tell it so easily when I'm talking to people who's actually listening to me versus someone who's just hearing you, but meanwhile, they're sitting there in their head thinking about what they're gonna say to you.
Yeah.
Because after she said her thing, there was, like, no follow-up questions. He was just like, oh, yeah, cool. So, I love to go to the gym, and skincare is really important to me, as well as hair care, and I'm a model, and modeling. Like, he just went off on this whole self-absorbed rant about himself and just didn't give a shit about anything she just said. So, he, yeah, very just self-absorbed. Obviously, Becca's... She's been saw this, but now she's, like, noticing it or whatever the hell.
Yeah, now it's expired. Now it's done.
It's time for him to go. He's, like, done his entertainment value, but it's, like, a wrap.
Yeah.
And then, so Jordan comes in for a kiss. This always makes me feel uncomfortable. Like, it's almost like she feels obligated to kiss him.
Yeah.
Like, he's already come in for the kiss. But she's not into him. You could tell she already made up her mind that she's sending him home.
Yeah. And I feel like in her head, too, she was like, is this kiss better or worse than the gold underwear?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't know the answer to that.
I don't know. Both terrible.
So they kiss. She's obviously not into it. Mm-hmm. Time for the date rose. And, you know, Becca picks up the rose and says, you know what? You're a great guy. Very charismatic. We've had a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, I'm just, you know, comparing our relationship to others. And there's something missing. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. This little point kind of pissed me off. Because I think Becca, like, you need to tell the truth. He's the type of guy who needs feedback about himself. Particularly people who are so self-absorbed. They are like that because no one's ever told them. Like, look, you don't ever think about anybody else.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like that was a moment where it could have been a learning lesson for him. Like, she should have really said to him, like, you are, you know, we've sat here for 2 hours at dinner, and you've spent 90 minutes of those 2 hours talking about modeling. Like, do you know anything about my family? Have you asked me about my friends? What was college like? Where have I traveled? Like, you haven't even asked me any of those questions.
Nothing.
That's why I'm sending you home. Like, that's what I wanted to hear. But this whole, like, trying to put a Band-Aid on it, like, our relationship's not as strong as anybody else. Like, he deserved to know about himself in that moment.
And you can say that in a nice way, too. Yeah. You can just be like, we weren't connecting the dots in this conversation.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know everything about you, but it's just not... You could even put it on them. Like, it's just not fair to you that you know absolutely nothing about me.
See, that is one of those blanket answers. He needs to know about himself. He needs to. People like this, they need feedback. Yeah, or else they go on and keep doing this.
Yeah.
I went on a date... This is... I've been on some bad dates, but the worst date I've ever been on was with a guy... This is years ago. A guy who... In our 3 hours on this date, he literally just talked at me the entire time. I remember leaving we're sitting in this little bar area. I remember leaving to go to the bathroom, and I thought to myself, like, I could leave. Like, I could just leave. I could leave and maybe, like, send some other girl in my place, and he would even notice, because I don't think he realized who he was sitting. Like, he never asked me a single question about myself. I could have swapped out for another girl and, like, been fine. And so that day was terrible. I left, and I was like, fuck this guy. That was horrible. I'm exhausted now because he just drained all my energy. Got home, and he texted me, like, oh, hey, like, what are you doing tonight? Like, do you want to meet up again? We can, like, watch a movie together or something like that.
No.
Yes. And I took it upon myself to tell him about himself.
Yeah.
I wrote him back a very nice text, and I was like, look, nice to meet you, but I have to be honest. During our date, you didn't really ask me anything about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like we're not going to have a connection. Like, thanks, but no thanks. And he just wrote back, like, cool, thanks, like, good luck or something like that. But, like, he needed to know. Like, this guy was so fucking self-absorbed and so in his own world. And I feel like I would have been doing a disservice to other women by not telling him about himself. Yeah, so that I thought about that this moment. I feel like Becca really needs to tell Jordan about himself because he is so self-absorbed and vapid. And until somebody tells him that, he would just go on being like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. I hate these people. And then even in the limo ride home, Jordan even said, like, I wish I knew what she didn't like about me. He said it.
Oh, my God.
He needed the feedback. He was curious, because she did give him this kind of blanket answer that didn't really give him any answers.
Right.
And so he sat there. He was like, yeah, I wish I knew what she didn't like about me. Moment lost. Jordan went home. They send in the, like, PA to grab his suitcase, and all the guys in the house are, like, going nuts, like, cheering. So
oh my
excited.
God, that celebration was so funny.
Great celebration. So we have 10 guys left in the house, and it's time for the cocktail party. Get your little, you know, one-on-one times in with Becca. Gospel Chris.
Oh, good Lord. Boy.
So my dude's still just huffing around, mad. He didn't get the group date rose. Like, he's still talking about his group date rose. Didn't get the group date rose. Didn't get to talk to Becca the other night. Just huffing around about things that are his fault. But, you know, that's besides the point, I guess. And so Becca walks up, was not a fan of this dress that she had on.
Was it the, like, it was almost like snakeskins, kind of? It was the halter?
The halter thing. Maybe that's what that was, like, snakeskin, but, like, sequins. I don't know. Either way.
It was a hit or miss.
It was a miss. Yes. And so she pulls Chris
aside first.
Yeah.
And she's saying in her confessional that she's, like, confused how he didn't come and talk to her during their group date. And she's also heard that he's been kind of, like, talking shit, like, on the Lewski.
Mm-hmm.
So she sits and, like, kind of confronts him and says, you know, you didn't take the initiative to come and talk to me during the group date.
Wait.
Yes.
As soon as they sat down, mm-hmm. Chris said, I feel like you owe me 50,000 kisses right
yes.
now.
Yes.
And Becca sat back,
ooh.
Neck all the way back, and said, owe you.
Uh-huh.
And that was my Becca. You all right?
Okay. Yeah, that's nice. Frame by frame.
Yeah, frame by frame. We're getting down to the wire, guys. Frame by frame.
That was a good moment. She was not playing around.
Yeah, she wasn't playing around. I loved how she didn't, like, fall for the line. Because that's, like, a classic line that guys do when you haven't seen them in, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
And you haven't texted them because they ain't shit. Mm-hmm. They say that, like, oh, you owe me this. Mm-hmm. And Becca was like, no, this is my show.
Yeah, this is you're fine for me. Get it straight, nigga. You here for me, and I could cut you loose any second now.
So. Any moment.
Yeah, Becca's pretty cool in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, she tells him, like, look, you didn't take the initiative to come and find me during the group date, and she also said, I don't know, like, either Jordan or David, somehow Chris came up on the 2-on-1 date. And one of the guys said how, you know, he might not be, he might want to go home or
okay,
kind of talking about Chris, basically. Mm-hmm. So she kind of heard through the grapevine him talking about packing his bags and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she drops all that on him and is looking at him like, And so he's in there, he's trying to, like, plead his case and excuse. He has no excuse, though. That's the thing.
Just lying.
Like,
just lying all over the place.
Lying all over the place. He has no excuse because he did say those things.
And right.
He didn't take the initiative to come and talk to her. So, like,
nope.
There's no explanation to be had. And so Becca, she's just not happy with him, like, at all. Super frustrated with him. The look in her eyes, she just looks done. She just looks finished.
Yeah. She was looking straight through him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and, like, I feel like there was, like, nothing he could do to redeem himself.
Nothing.
And he could see, like, her eyes were glazed over, and he could see it, and he felt it. And then she was just like, I'm so frustrated. And she, like, got up and walked away.
Yeah.
And, like, just left him sitting there. And all it was funny because, like, all the other guys, like, saw that.
They were like, oh, shit, she's alone. Oh, shit.
She walked by herself. Like, shit. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, she's looking right on through him. She's just tired of Chris. And this kind of, like, entitled attitude that he has.
I don't know why. Okay, so if I was a man, right, I'm Chris, right? I don't know what his profession is. I know he's, like, 29. I'm sitting next to the nigga who invented Venmo.
Mm-hmm.
And I am like, oh, I'm definitely going to get the date rose. Yeah, it's definitely going to be me. What?
And talk about he's like one of the best guys around. Or all kind of like weird, like hyperbolic.
Yeah.
Hyperbolic. Yes, whatever. Yeah. Statements.
Yeah.
That, yeah, you're sitting next to John the Venmo guy. Like, no.
No.
And so, yeah, she gets up and walks away. Chris, I mean, obviously that didn't go well. So he's
freaking out.
Freaking out, very upset with himself. He now knows he fucked up in this whole, you owe me, whatever. That did not work. And she is not playing no damn games. And so he goes off to the side and he's, like, chatting it up with Garrett and Colton. And he's talking about the look in her eyes. Like, she was, what did he say? He said, the look in her eyes was of disgust. That's what he said.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which it was, like, I don't know, disgust, but it was a look of, like, I'm finished with you.
Yeah.
Like, we're done, you're canceled, I'm gonna go talk to somebody else now. And so, yeah, he's, like, really beside himself. He then has, like, some random, like, come to Jesus moment where he's now declaring he's gonna fight for Becca, and he's gotta go after what he wants, and whatever.
You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of, okay, guys, let's think back, right, to last summer, Insecure. Mm-hmm. It's Insecure. We're in the last couple of episodes. And mm-hmm. Sterling K. Brown is dating Yvonne Orji. Don't ask me what their names are.
Molly.
Right? Yes. And then the guy.
Yeah.
How she felt when she was like, I could literally be any educated woman and just sit there and he would be doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, he has the same plan. He just wants wife. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Just the qualifications that you meet, there doesn't have to be anything else specific or special about me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's not taking any of that into consideration,
mm-hmm.
and he's just using the same lines that he's been using his whole fucking life,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and that's that.
And that's that, yeah.
And you can feel that. You can feel it when a guy is like that, and it's absolutely terrible. And he that reminds me of that.
Yeah, totally. That was kind of like my issue with... Rachel and Brian, or not Rachel, but my issue with Brian was I always felt like we could swap out Rachel and put in somebody else and he would be vying for her the same way and all lovey-dovey and I'm so ready to marry you, you're the one, like the way all these big declarative statements he kept giving to Rachel. I was like, what is it about like talk about her specifically,
right?
Like, I need to hear more specifics about her specifically, like I don't want to feel like you can swap her out, put somebody else in.
Yeah.
And with Chris, I feel like we could swap out Becca, put somebody else in, and he's just like, I need to win her back, and it's like, you like, what is it about her, like, specifically that you are so in love with, apparently? So anyway, so he has this come to Jesus moment. He now needs to go fight for Becca, and you know, because their last conversation went horribly.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chris R. decides to go interrupt Wills. Who is not the one.
No, certainly not.
So Wills is having his one-on-one time with Becca. Gospel Chris comes riding up and asks Becca, you know, can I steal you away for a moment? And Becca didn't even budge. She sat right there and said, we just sat down. Like, didn't even stand. Like, she's sitting down and she's just looking up with her eyes and she's like, we just sat down. Not getting up. This was my Becca UII moment.
Nice.
Because she's not even trying to play nice.
Yeah.
She could have been like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, we just sat. Like, just give me a couple minutes. She just straight up was like, we just sat down. No niceness in the voice. She's like, just finished with this dude. And so Chris is just basically begging and pleading.
Yeah.
And both Becca and Wills are just sitting there like, we literally just sat down a minute ago.
This,
like,
doesn't change the time frame.
It doesn't at all. Like, it's a no. So that whole moment is just so awkward because no one is budging. Like, Becca and Wills literally have not budged from the seat and have no intention of budging.
Nope.
And Chris is just standing over them like a freak, looking so pathetic.
Yeah.
Trying to beg for one-on-one time with her, and she clearly does not want to talk to you.
Thinking he's looking, like, manly and, like, I'm going to go save my girl.
Yeah, like,
but everyone else, including the man holding the boom, is like, nah, bro. You look crazy right now.
Come back in 5 minutes. It's not it. You look nuts. So Chris, all this time, he's kind of directing his attention to Becca, and so finally he's like, okay, new strategy. Wills. And, like, turns to Wills and then asks Wills, like, do you mind? Can I take time, like, for her, with her? Wills relents and is like, you got 2 minutes.
Listen. You know when you guys do something where you don't want to even look at the minute, you just want to count down the seconds?
Mm-hmm.
And so you put the timer on seconds and not minutes. Like, if you're doing a plank at the gym, you put 60 seconds and not 1 minute. That's what my man Wills did. He put 120 seconds on his watch.
On that stopwatch.
You have 120, my nigga. And I'm coming right back.
I'm coming right back. And Chris, I mean, Wills, he didn't have to do this.
No.
He did not have to do it. He could have sat right there and still, because Becca wasn't budget, he could have sat there and held his spot and said, no, I just sat down. So he's being nice by giving you 120 seconds, my dude. So he gives up his seat. Wills goes and, like, hangs out somewhere for 120 seconds. Chris takes a seat.
And he, same thing, just talking all this mess, apologizing, you know, realize what I had.
He's long-winded still.
Very long-winded, just talking a lot of things about feelings and you're this and that and just blah, 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 blah. Well, the stopwatch goes off and he comes right on back. When he said 2 minutes, he was not kidding. He said 2 minutes, 120 seconds, my dude.
And that's same it. What you gotta no say. Longer.
No longer. Like, if you're long-winded, you need to learn how to speak concise because you have 2 minutes. That's it. So he comes back, and then it's just like another awkward standoff between the two of them. God,
it was so bad.
So bad.
Because Wills was like, I'll fight you. I don't care. Cameras, suit, I don't care. Let's go.
Yep, let's go. Chris is sitting down. He won't get up. Yeah. Wells is here trying to reclaim his time. And he's like, I'm going to ask you politely to get up. That was like that last line before he's about to whoop your ass.
Whoop, whoop, whoop your ass. Okay.
Like, oh, right after God. That line, the next move is like Will's just like unbuttons to his jacket. Yeah, yeah. Unbuttons his jacket, lays it nicely, and like squares up. That was the last like straw, Chris. Like, this is it. It's about to go down. He don't get up out this goddamn seat. So Chris still begging. Oh, I can't get a couple more minutes. No. Like, Will's not even like, he just says no.
Mm-hmm.
And then Becca finally says to Chris, like, I'll come and find you. Like,
yeah.
We'll talk later. I'll come and find you. Chris again, you can't give me 5 minutes. No. And then Becca finally, she's just getting fed up. She's like, I said I'll come find you. Go away, Chris. Like, you were just embarrassing yourself. It's so cringe. So Chris finally goes and rejoins the guys. And he's over there talking shit about, you know, Will's this, blah, 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 blah. Wills comes back, joins the guys. I love Wills. He's just so, this is love just so him. Subtle pettiness.
Yep.
Like, just masterfully subtle.
Yet intentional.
Very intentional.
Love it.
He comes back, joins them, looks Chris dead in the eye, and basically he's like, what up, nigga? Mm-hmm.
Like, yep.
Looks him square in the face with a smile and was like, hey, what's up?
What's good, my G?
What's good? And so all the guys, they just like all just start bickering. It's just like one big bigger fest about time. And Garrett chimes in. He hasn't had his time yet. Connor hasn't had his time. Time, stealing time. Did you notice in that moment Wills got up and left?
No.
I noticed that. So as they're sitting, they're all bickering and it's just like a whole pettiness. Wills got up and like exited.
Oh, shit. I didn't notice that.
Like, he's like, I don't want to be associated with this.
Yeah.
Because if Becca walks back and sees this, I don't want her to see me.
Yeah, right. Right.
So he got up real quickly with the swiftness and was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom now. And so, yeah, they're all bickering. Becca, as promised, she does come back and grabs Chris and, you know, gives him the more time that he wanted.
Oh, my God.
And he's just sitting there, same thing, declaring all his feelings for her, you know, admitting his insecurities and, you know, about how last week was rough and da-da-da-da. Becca, her one question was like, so why were you so quick to jump ship? Like, why you're going through what you're going through and you're insecure, whatever, why suddenly you want to pack your bags and go home?
Yeah.
Like, what is that about?
Right.
And Chris's response is the whole, like, well, I needed to I had to realize what I was about to lose.
Oh.
To, like, understand the value.
Oh, Christopher. Oh, no, honey.
Something. It was like, that kind of argument. Like, I had to see what I was going to lose before, you know, I had blah, 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 blah.
Mm-mm. It ain't that kind of scenario, boo.
Yeah, no. And when people give that excuse, like, well, what is it? It's like, you never know what you had until you lost
until it's gone.
Type of thing. Yeah. It's like, no, because I'm not expendable like that. Like, you can just, like, imagine me not in your life, and then that's fine, and then you can just come on back because now you realize my value. Like, no, that doesn't make me feel good. That makes me feel like I definitely want you to go home because you, for a millisecond, thought I wasn't shit.
Yeah, right.
So you can kick to the curb. Like, I don't have to sit here and fight my value or show my value to you. Like, if you didn't see that already, that's on you. Yeah. Your bags are still packed. You can keep going. That's how I think. Like,
Exactly. Anytime a man's pride is greater than his love or care for you, it's mm-hmm. just not a good situation.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's pride over her. Mm-hmm. And that's, as a woman, that's not a good feeling.
No.
So, like, no. And so Becca, this whole time, she just looks finished with him. Like, just done.
Yeah. Yep.
Completely done. He's sitting there, like, literally begging her. Like, I almost feel sorry for the guy in this moment. Mm-hmm. And he's like, do you see potential in me? And the camera kind of cuts away. We never really get her answer. Mm-hmm. So, time for the rose ceremony. First rose goes to Garrett, of course.
Ugh.
Next rose goes to Jason, Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, who, yeah.
If you notice, he always gets one of the first roses.
Yeah, no, every he's up week. There.
He's always up there. We don't see much of him. We don't really know anything about him.
Don't know why.
Don't know why. Yeah, we don't know anything. But he's going to be around for a while, clearly. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. hopefully next week we get to learn something about this dude. So then there's one rose left. Last two people left are Gospel Chris, Venmo John. Last rose goes to Chris. And so we have to give a sad farewell. Another POC bites the dust.
Yeah.
Venmo John, who we just started to really love like last week. Finally got to see more of him. He's so cute and very endearing. He's just, like, very endearing, very earnest, like, just a regular, schmegular, nice guy, I feel like.
Right, right. Yeah. But underneath definitely isn't. It's definitely, like, a huge brainiac.
Mm-hmm.
And would be just...
super genius.
Never would be boring. I don't think it would ever... Despite the fact that he's earnest and humble and, like, oh, shucks, I don't think it would be boring to be with him.
No, no. Because he seems like he's an interesting dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know nothing about him. Like, we're...
Nothing at all.
Cracked this whole story in my head of, like, what Venmo John is like.
This is
what
he does each on the of weekend. Us pitching for him, really.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, I just feel like there's more under the surface we didn't really get to see. And now we have to say goodbye to him. Mm. And his farewell, his little confessional was sad. He was all crying. And
I know.
Like, he also feels like he didn't get, like, a fair shot and going home prematurely. But hopefully we'll see him. I don't, he's not someone I want to see in Paradise. I feel like he's too good for Paradise. I definitely don't want to see him as Paradise.
No.
I would love to watch him as The Bachelor.
Love
that.
Oh, my God. ABC, and please.
I mean, he has the characteristics of, like, they always look for someone who's, like, successful, and he's, was it Sian who said he's one of the most successful?
One of the wealthiest.
One of the wealthiest and most successful contestants they've ever had.
Yep.
So in terms of Bachelor, he would 100% fit that mold. Asian male.
Hello. Let's change the narrative up.
Let's change it up. If you want to really be historic... Mike Fleiss. I still won't get over that shit when he announced but this is before they announced Ari,
like the Bachelor.
It's a historic moment or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, oh my god, what the fuck's gonna be? And then it was Ari. Really? So annoying. So yeah, that was that. Becca at the end, she announced, what did she announce? I kind of cut out at that moment.
She announced my get me to Wakanda moment. Which was, we're going to a city that's known for love, Richmond, Virginia.
God.
And you could tell, first the camera was on Will's and he had to be like,
oh God. Will's is like, y'all know what year it is. 2018, what kind of craziness has been turning up down south? Y'all bringing my black ass down there? Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
So next week we're in Richmond. Oh, Lordy.
You guys, I'm not ready. It's 4th of July next week. We have to go to Richmond with Becca. I'm not ready for this.
Becca, I'm not excited for this. And that was the episode.
Yeah.
We did get a preview for next week. So
the guy, I don't know what kind of date this is. Like, looks like a group date where the guys are on, it was like a stage and they're all standing by podiums, almost like a debate.
Oh yeah, it's like a presidential debate thing.
It looked like a presidential debate or something. And Chris is on stage going in, saying how the men in the house Becca shouldn't trust. There's guys here that aren't for you. Like, just more drama.
Yeah.
And then
Chris,
there's like
don't go home.
Yeah, he's got to go. It's just too much. It's just too extra. It's too much. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it just seems like a lot of drama next week. Guys are all fighting, bickering, a lot of bickering and drama and back and forth. And then we did get another, like, extended series, like, later this season thing. So we see a lot of Garrett.
No.
A lot of Colton.
Yes.
A lot of Jason, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
A lot of Blake.
Yeah.
And a little bit of Wills. Not as much of Wills as we saw in the first preview.
Yeah, but we do see Wills in a beach outfit.
We do see Wills in beach outfit, so I guess he does at least make it to post-Richmond, wherever the hell they go.
Yes! Right.
So yeah, it looks like the front runners, Garrett, Colton, Jason, Blake, Wills. We see Jason telling her, "I'm so insanely, wildly in love with you."
Which looks like a lie.
That is, a lot of statements, Jason, wrapped into one. Jesus. And we see Colton saying, "I'm in love with you." Who Colton just told us how hard it is for him to say, "I love you." He's only said it to one person. Yada, yada, yada. And so Becca's his number two. And then we see Becca on a bed, just like bawling her eyes out.
Oh my God, with her shoes on the bed. That's how you know it's like real. She just collapsed.
Something goes down. What do you think that is? What is that?
So... Yeah, sometimes I watch this with my mom, and she's just wild. She said that she, at the end, picks no one.
Oh, jeez. That's not... No.
Which is not funny, but it is. I don't know. Well, I guess she has to break up with somebody who she really cares about.
Yeah.
You know? Like, now is getting to the point where, like... Like, out of all five of those guys, Garrett is the only one who I could see being like, nah, you can go without any sort of, like, you know, you feel kind of bad. Even Jason, you, like, feel kind of bad letting him go. You know? Or, like, choosing between Wills and Blake. Like, I would have a really hard time with that.
Time to do that, yeah. Yeah, that's probably an episode where she has to let somebody she really likes home. Go home, and she's just beside herself in her room. And yeah, so that's it, guys. That's the episode.
That's it.
We will be back next week, as always. Please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. Hit us up on Twitter. Our handle, the number 2, BLK Girls, the number 1, Rose.
And email us at the number 2, Black Girls, the number 1, Rose, at gmail.com. And it's the same thing for Facebook. Just search 2 Black Girls, 1 Rose, and we'll come up.
Yep. We'll be back next week. All right.
Yay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.